From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
China is busily racing against the clock to contain the coronavirus outbreak that has the world in a near panic. Journalist Wang Guan, hosting China's global television network CGTN's program World Insight, has more.
The death toll from the novel coronavirus pneumonia stands at 81. Nearly 2,900 cases have been confirmed globally, the vast majority here in China. Around half of the confirmed cases are at ground zero in Wuhan, the capital of central China's Hubei province. More than 30,000 people across China are under medical observation after having close contact with confirmed patients. Now, Chinese President Xi Jinping has sent orders to deal with the coronavirus outbreak, vowing to rely on the people to ultimately win the fight. Meanwhile, Premier Li Keqiang is now in Wuhan. He visited the site where a hospital is being built to treat coronavirus-affected patients.
Let's build this hospital, which is urgently needed here in Wuhan. Not only Wuhan residents, but also all the people in the country are closely watching this. We are all your backups. What do you need? Any difficulties? Any supplies that need to be deployed? What is required to guarantee the construction? You can just tell us any problems. Everything can be solved.
The Chinese government said on Monday that it will allocate almost 10 billion yuan to public health services and local prevention to help contain the coronavirus epidemic. And the Lunar New Year holiday has also been extended by 3 days until February the 2nd to help contain the epidemic. Take a listen.
A measure to reduce mass gatherings. The Chinese government extended the Lunar New Year holiday to help block the spread of the epidemic. That's the word from the General Office of the State Council.
I think the extension of the Chinese New Year holiday is very reasonable, which is also advocated by the government. This is mainly to avoid people gathering and cross-infecting.
And schools across the country will postpone the opening of the spring semester until further notice. The higher education institutes and education authorities in each district will provide online courses, make special teaching and management plans, and organize students to study at home. Our schools in Beijing, Shanghai, and East China's Zhejiang province also pushed back the date of students' enrollment exams. The exact date is yet to be decided.
The exact date of the opening of the new semester will be notified according to the situation of the outbreak. What's behind the decision is our sincere care for the health of children and students.
Meanwhile, in rural areas, local authorities are getting the word out for migrant workers who have returned home from bigger cities for the spring festival holiday.
There are people publicizing epidemic prevention and control everywhere in the country around the clock. Thanks to that, we are now aware of how we can better protect ourselves from being infected.
And in Longquan Town in Zhejiang Province in East China, residents put some tips into a short video in local dialect to help senior citizens informed.
Many local elderly people can only understand local dialects, so the video can help them better protect themselves and prevent infection from the novel coronavirus.
China is employing an unprecedented response and draconian tactics to bring the situation under control and back to normal. Zheng Shuying, CGTN.
Now for more on the latest on the coronavirus outbreak, joining me in Shanghai by phone, Yu Wei. He is the president of the Academy of China Health Innovation Platform. Welcome, President Yu. I want to begin by asking you about the latest situation on the ground. How bad is this epidemic, and where are we in terms of finding a cure for this epidemic?
The situation is still in developing stage and complex. As you just reported, that the number of newly diagnosed people infected with the new coronavirus yesterday is 769. also increased from the day before yesterday, which is which was 688. So that's showing that that shows the number of people being infected and showing symptoms as increasing day after day. So it's still developing. So it's very serious situation. Now the reactions taken by the government, as you also reported, is extremely strong. Now the standing committee of the CPC Central Committee has taken direct control of the response. Premier Li Keqiang arrived in Wuhan today for inspection of hospitals in Striking City. This shows that the government has taken all the efforts to stop the virus spread, which is a very important and the best strategy at this moment. So the entire country has been activated to fight the war against the disease outbreak. And you can see that Wuhan has received full support from the nation with medical resources and staff. So it's very clear. So it's not, it has been really treated as a war, and every people and organization has been activated to help the fighting.
Well, President, you help us understand from the medical perspective the trend of this virus. When is it likely to peak?
Well, it's because there are several uncertainties. I'm not a epidemiologist, so but from the policy perspective, I can see that the first is that the management level in the nation has reached to the top leaders. That is very good sign to cooperate and to collect all the resources to fight the disease, the virus spread. Now, the 30 provinces and the major cities has activated their highest level of emergency response with checking points erected on the road and screening for travelers at airport and train station. And also Wuhan, the origin of the new coronavirus, has received all the medical resources and needed materials and also medical staff. Now treatment, there are two hospitals, you know, people know that the two hospitals are being built in Wuhan to treat infected patients, and they'll be ready in a few days. The other province is also dedicated a special facility to treat people infected by the coronaviruses. Now all this shows that we have tried the best to stop the virus spread. The newly infected, if the infection can be stopped, so the entire situation will move to a stabilized situation. That's what I'm thinking. So I think the actions, the reactions, and the policies taken by local and the central government really shows the determination, and I will see this will be effective to stop the new infection.
Certainly lots of developments on the ground over there in Wuhan, and thanks so much, President Yu, with Academy of China Health Innovation Platform. Now, what is likely to happen with the coronavirus outbreak in the coming days and weeks? In Washington, D.C., we have Catherine Jacobson, a professor of epidemiology at George Mason University, with a research focus on infectious disease prevention and control. In Nashville, Tennessee, we invited Dr. William Schaffner, a professor of preventative medicine at the Department of Health Policy, as well as professor of medicine in the Division of Infectious Diseases at the Vanderbilt University School of Medicine. Joining us in Atlanta, Chen Zhuo, who is an associate professor at the Department of Health Policy and Management of the University of Georgia. He's also the Li Daksam Chair Professor in Health Economics of the School of Economics of the University of Nottingham, Ningbo, China. I'd like to go to you first, Professor Jacobson. In your opinion, what is the challenges? What are the biggest challenges right now facing this epidemic?
The biggest challenge is just that it's very early in the epidemic. We first detected this virus only about a month ago, so there's just a lot that we don't know yet, that we don't understand about the ways in which it's able to be transmitted between people, the rate of transmission, how long the incubation period is. One of the things that we're going to see in the coming week is a lot more cases being diagnosed. Those are cases that were acquired before the travel restrictions went into place, because it takes about 7 to 10 days from when someone is exposed to the virus until they have symptoms. So it's going to be a while before we're able to see how these public health measures are starting to reduce the number of cases.
And then how would you rate the efforts of the Chinese government in terms of, you know, a partial lockdown of the epicenter Wuhan, the travel restrictions, also the pouring in of medical staff to the epicenter Wuhan?
Those are exactly the moves that epidemiologists around the world would say should be taken at this time. We don't have a vaccine yet, and it'll likely be months before we have that ready, that it's been tested for safety and efficacy and manufactured. We don't have antiviral medications for this yet. So the best thing that we can do is to focus on public health prevention measures, like isolating people who have the virus and having isolation so that they don't infect people who are not already infected. To have that personal protective equipment for healthcare workers so that they're safe, and to ask people not to congregate in crowded areas so that we can reduce the risk of new people becoming infected. That's exactly what should be done at this time.
I want to go to you, Dr. William Schaffner from Nashville, Tennessee. In your opinion, where are we in terms of the spread of the virus? Is the worst yet to come? And really, what can we do? What should have been done, and what should be done right now to address this challenge?
Well, I'm going to agree very much with Dr. Jacobson. We are still in the early days of this epidemic, and so we can anticipate that there will be more cases. We learn more about this virus and how it is spread every day, and we need to be attentive to that. And in addition to all of the things she said, countries around the world also are putting in place screening procedures so that cases can be identified, so that we don't have further spread in other countries around the world. So we're working in cooperation with the World Health Organization and, of course, our colleagues in China to do everything we can to bring this outbreak to a close as quickly as possible.
Well, so far there are only 5 cases reported in the United States, and there's no sign that infections are taking place amongst Americans or Chinese who are living in America. Is that at least a good sign?
I think it is a good sign, and we have our fingers crossed, as we say in the United States, for good luck. I think the system is working. The passengers who do become sick, who've come back from China, are given instructions about what to do, and all of these people have informed their healthcare providers when they got sick that they have come from Wuhan. So they were able to be put quickly in isolation, specimens were obtained, they're sent to the CDC, and now that we know that we have 5 positive patients, all of their contacts are being identified and are being traced. We know that this is working across the United States because the CDC told us that they have over 100 specimens from patients from 26 states. So the clinicians are on the ball. They have this top of mind. The patients, that is the travelers who are becoming sick, are also cooperating. And of course, on the public health side, the CDC and state and local health departments are working very, very closely together. And so far, from those 5 cases, so far, we have seen no spread to contacts. We obviously hope that will continue. But we will see more cases in the United States, that's for sure, and there will be other cases around the world also.
Definitely fingers crossed for people in America and indeed around the world. Professor Chen Zhuo, you worked both in China and the United States. Help us understand this epidemic. How severe is it, and where are we in our fight against this outbreak?
This is a tough question. I think things are still evolving, and I think managing a city of close to 20 million residents is itself a challenge. But well, not to mention that we have more than 2,000 new coronavirus pneumonia patients, and most importantly, I think tens of thousands patients with flu or flu-like illness that who are flocking to our hospitals. I think they are exceeding the surge capacity of these hospitals. I think right now Wuhan is doing its best, and national efforts, assistance, support from other provinces has been sent to the Wuhan city. I think although the number of new incidents is still showing up, I think it's will be contained. But the timeline probably is hard to tell at this time.
Dr. Jacobson in Washington, I want to go back to you. We know that there has been a series of travel restrictions, especially considering this is a very unique time of the year for the Chinese, the Lunar New Year, the travel rush. This is also called the greatest migration of humanity on Earth, hundreds of millions of travelers. In about a week from now, people who return to their hometowns are expected to come back to their place of work. How do you expect that travel rush, the return leg of it, to, you know, affect the epidemic?
I think it's too early to tell. There may need to be some other travel guidelines, or guidelines for maybe keeping kids out of school, or having fewer mass gatherings of people in the coming weeks as the epidemic unfolds. We're going to have to wait and see if these preventive measures are starting to lower the transmission rate before we start making decisions about how to keep this from spreading to new cities or new countries moving forward.
And then what do you think of the partial lockdown, which is not without its controversy? Some say this is a quote-unquote a violation of human rights. Others say this is a necessary step.
There are international public health guidelines that talk about the ethics of what to do during an outbreak like this. And what they say is that if travel restrictions are going to be put in place, there are two key things that need to be done. One is that there needs to be very good communication and transparency about the situation. And the other is that the travel restrictions need to be lifted as soon as it's safe to do so. So as long as there's continued transparency and communication, I think that people are going to have that patience, because we understand that it's very important to contain coronavirus before it spreads more widely.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Schaffner, many people compare this epidemic to SARS that we experienced in China and people around the world, indeed, in 2003. Some call it an evolved version of SARS. How do you see that comparison?
Well, they're all caused by coronaviruses: SARS, MERS, the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, and now this new novel coronavirus. But each one of them has their own characteristics and, you might say, personalities. SARS spread fairly readily, but you really had to be sick in order to really effectively spread that virus. Here we're still uncertain about whether you can spread this virus efficiently before you become sick. So that's something we need to look into. MERS, on the other hand, was not very readily transmissible from person to person. So all of these pieces of information need to keep coming along so we can get a better idea of exactly what this virus is capable of doing.
I think many Chinese wanted to ask this question. That is, how far off are we from having a vaccine, a medicine that can cure this illness?
So research is ongoing on both those things. First, the therapy. There are clinical trials already underway about an antiviral drug. When that will become available, I'm not sure. Likewise, there are now many investigators around the world, including at our own National Institutes of Health, who are starting to develop a vaccine. I think developing the vaccine candidate in the laboratory will be relatively quick, but then doing the clinical trials will take more time to determine that this vaccine candidate is safe and would be effective. So it's going to be some months before we have a new therapy or a vaccine. It can't help us this week or next week, I'm afraid.
Well, noted. Thanks. Professor Chen, I want to go to you on the efforts taken by the Chinese government. Professor Jacobson earlier said transparency is really key in preventing the spread of the virus. How would you rate the efforts of the Chinese government so far, both on the local level and on the central level, particularly in terms of transparency?
I very much agree with Dr. Jacobson, on the transparency, importance of transparency in communicating to the public. I think if we have a transparent communication of risks to the public, and I think it helps them to calm down the panic. Right now, I think there are the rooms of improvement. Overall, I think given the uncertainties of this new virus, novel coronavirus, I think I would be a backseat driver to comment on whether they have done the right thing or not, given the limited information. But I think there could be things we could have done better in communicating in a lay language so that everyone can understand, to know what in such a situation, what they should have done, what they should prepare for. For example, I think Wuhan is doing well in trying to divert some of the patients to community health center first. I think that's a good step. Right now, we have, well, it is a flu season. It's winter, it's flu season. We have tens of thousands of patients with flu or flu-like illness, and they are going to hospitals. And they are going to, if they all congregate in hospital lining to get treatment, there are likelihoods, there are risks of hospital acquired infections. So if Wuhan could successfully divert the patients to community health center and well, if to provide a guideline for the next steps, I think that will help. That's the right step.
Certainly, there's a big role for local
Premier
communities.
Li Keqiang being in Wuhan.
But I'm afraid that
Premier Li Keqiang in Wuhan City. I think that's
all the time we have for the moment, ladies and gentlemen. We have more questions than we have time for them. But thanks so much, Catherine Jacobson from Washington, D.C., Dr. William Schaffner from Nashville, and Professor Chen Zhuo from Atlanta. Thank you all so very much.
And that was China's journalist Wang Guan, hosting China's Global Television Network's CGTN's program World Insight, with a discussion about the coronavirus outbreak facing China and the world. And on Tuesday, China's National Health Commission held a press conference on prevention and control of the coronavirus outbreak. Ma Xiaowei, director of the NHC, said China planned to send an additional 12 teams of more than 1,600 medical staff to aid in the control of the virus at Hubei. Concerns for both the welfare of doctors and patients were discussed.
With China Daily, according to some comments on media, some of the medical workers are under a lot of pressure, some of them on the brink of breaking down. So are there necessities and living conditions guaranteed? So are these problems addressed? Thank you for that question. It is true that most of our medical workers are working under surmountable pressure, both in psychologically and physically. Most of you haven't visited these hospitals and isolated wards. They have to wear many layers of protection suits, and they are attending the patient directly, so they have a much higher risk of infection than the common people. So we understand fully that they are experiencing pressure, especially psychologically. They are wearing N95 masks. If you wear those kind of masks for too long time, you will have difficulty breathing, and they cannot join their families for the spring holidays, which might be another reason for psychological pressure. Besides, when faced with a completely novel kind of infectious disease, we will have this kind of pressure of facing the unknown, this anxiety of fighting an invisible enemy. So right now we have sent experts to take care of their psychological condition and conduct training for them so that they can have a better knowledge and expectation of this disease, as well as their own work. I believe that might be a positive support for them. Besides, we also provide them with favorable living and working environment and conditions at the local level. A lot of hotels near the hospitals were summoned and were provided to the medical workers to take rest. Of course, the dining condition, living condition, cannot compare to the daily life that they used to be, but I can say that their necessities, daily necessities, are effectively ensured. Last question. Thank you, with CMG. My question goes to Dr. Li. According to some reports, some of the patients did not show any symptom of fever. Do they have the potential to infect others under such condition, and how to strengthen personal care? That is a very important question. Because a lot of people traveled from the epicenter to other places of the world, so we have some scattered cases in other regions of our country. We have observed in some cases they show no symptom. However, they are still infectious and show positive in the diagnostic testing. And they only have some symptoms of coughing or fatigue. So we are very proactively doing the searching and the researching in this regard. In terms of epidemiology, they still have the potential to infect, which might constitute pressure for our prevention control work. But if you take a look at this from another aspect, it is mainly transmitted through short-distance contact. Symptoms like coughing would have the potential to transmit. And most of these patients with no symptoms, and the subject that they have transmitted, most of them are under medical observation, so that they will be quarantined and isolated, so they will not go to public places on their own, which will ensure that the disease will not be spread further to the public.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.